Blog Talk Radio.
I feel like this all the time, trying to politically awaken people that they're being lied to, that there's an agenda. It's not left or right. It's, hey, there's mind control going on. The signals broadcast 24 hours a day through all this media. Just become aware of it, and they'll say, there's nothing going on. And I want to say, put on these glasses or start chewing concrete.
They have taken the hearts and minds of our leaders. They have recruited the rich and the powerful. And they have blinded us to the truth.
The question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight.
Our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
An estimated 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from a sleep disorder or sleep deprivation.
Outside the limit of our sight, feeding off us, perched on top of us from birth to death, are our owners.
Latest census numbers prove the United States has the biggest gap between rich and poor compared to all westernized countries today.
Our projections show that by the year 2025, not only America, but the entire planet will be under the protection and the dominion of this power alliance. The gains have been substantial, both for ourselves and for you, the human power elite.
And for the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened. That's a total new reality.
I've got one that can see.
We can't be the only ones who can see.
Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's got at the root of all our problems.
It's a new morning in America. Fresh.
We have, as humans, we have something that no animal has. And what it's called is imagination. And what imagination allows you to do, it allows you to see it before it actually happens. What I mean by that is I need you to go 10 years into the future, 20 years into the future, and I need you to see yourself actually becoming the person you want to be. You got to live in the forward. Block the whole world out. Put some music on, some classical music, right? The piano if you need to. I don't know what you need to listen to, but I want you to take 30 minutes. Go in the closet. Go in the basement. Go to the library. Go into a room alone. And I want you to take 30 minutes, and I want you to imagine. I want you to take 30 minutes, and I want you to live it afford. See, the problem is, I'm talking to some of you guys, the problem that you're having is you're living in the future and you're living in the present. And you keep talking about the mistakes. You keep talking about the past. You keep talking about your trials. You keep talking about your situation. And I want you to know that everybody that's ever been great, everybody has had an obstacle to overcome. They've had a barrier that they had to climb. There is no individual who's ever reached success and he didn't have to go through an obstacle or a barrier to get there. I need you to live in the future. I need you to go in your future every single day. I need you to go in your future. I need you to see what you're going to be. Listen to me. What you are to be, you are now becoming. And so you got to use your imagination. And your imagination has to take you beyond the pain. Your imagination has to take you beyond the trouble. Your imagination has to take you to the next level. We had to see ourselves there long before it happened. The second tool is we got to embrace faith. I have to have faith to believe that the things that I see 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that one day, that thing is going to be successful. When I was homeless at 16, I could have quit. When I was homeless, I could have given up. There are many a days that I thought about committing suicide, but I said to myself, E, just keep imagining. Keep thinking. Keep seeing. Keep seeing what you're not now, but what you're going to be. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes you're going to look all around you, and nowhere do you see success. Nowhere do you see anything that remotely looks like success. But you got to embrace. Number two, you got to embrace the faith. You got to believe that although it's not happening right now, if you keep pressing, if you keep pushing, guess what? One day is going to be your day. That's right. I need you to say that with me. One day is going to be your day. Embrace the faith. You got to be able to see it and believe it, that when there's no evidence around you, when there's no evidence around you, when you got pain in your life, when you're tired, you feel like giving up, and you feel like quit, when you look around you, you don't see anything that looks anything like success, you got to embrace the faith and believe that one day going to be my day. But one day can't be your day if you give up. If you quit, no day will ever be your day. I want you to fail forward. That's right. I said it, fail forward. I want you to get to a place in your life that every mistake you make, every setback you get, right, every obstacle that you don't overcome, every barrier you can't climb, I don't want you to give up, but I want you to fail forward. You got to learn from your mistakes, that every mistake you make, you fail a class, get back up and try again. You lose a job, get back up and try again. You put all your money in investment, get back and try it again. If you start a business and it don't work, don't stop, don't quit. Fail forward. Learn from each and every one of your mistakes. Don't quit, don't give up. Listen to me, don't quit, don't give up. If it gets hard, you tie a knot around yourself, you double tie it if you have to, but you hold on. But I want you to know, you will never reach your goal. You will never reach your dreams if you don't use your imagination. So when you fail that class, don't drop it. When you fail that class, don't just stop going. You go into the end of that class. You go into the end of that class, and you go into the end of that class, and you go into the end of that class, because I want you to know something. When you start that class over the next semester, you won't be starting from scratch. You won't be starting from the bottom, because you were all the way up here when you quit. And now all you got to do is go a little further and a little further. So keep reaching. Keep climbing.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. Fear is a choice.
Only those who risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go. I want your dream to be so clear that when you wake up in the morning, all you got to do is step in your dream. And the first step for me was seeing something I was not before I was. You can do it. Where you are is temporary. You will not be there for the rest of your life. I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care where you are. Every single day you wake up, if you're going to have energy, if you're going to have passion, if you're going to have drive, every day you wake up, you've got to start with that vision.
This is a mentality. Like, you got to live this. You got to eat this. You got every single thing you do is not a cute thing. It is a way of life. It's got to possess everything you do. It's got to own you.
There's no reason to have a plan B because it distracts from plan A.
I want to see how far I can go. I want to see what I can accomplish. I want to see what I can do, what I can be, what I can have. I want to see. I don't want to see what I think I can do. I don't want to see what I think is possible. I want to see what my life would look like if I didn't count the cost and if I was willing to go further than anybody else was willing to do.
One problem, the violin. Because to do what you do, you've got to be a world-class violinist. Because if you don't, when you're moving around and being thrown around and still trying to play, you end up doing what you did, and that's missing loads of notes. And there were times when it sounded to me like a bunch of rats being strangled. Seriously, that bad. But you're not good enough, I don't think, to get away with flying through the air and trying to play the violin at the same time.
I don't think what you're doing right now is enough to fill a theater in Vegas.
That much movement made you not as great as you were.
Anytime there's a change to be made, you have to realize that there's somewhere else you want to be. And I wanted basically to be happy.
You can't do anything without faith. It's impossible to accomplish anything without faith. So I need you to believe there is still time. As long as there's breath in your nostrils, as long as you can wake up in the morning.
The first step before anybody else in the world believes it is you have to believe it.
So I need you to believe.
Because if you're willing to go through all the battling you got to go through to get to where you want to get, who's got the right to stop you? I mean, maybe some of you guys got something you never finished, something you really want to do, something you never said to somebody, something. And you're told no, even after you pay your dues. Who's got the right to tell you that? Who? Nobody. It's your right to listen to your gut. It ain't nobody's right to say no after you earn the right to be where you want to be and do what you want to do.
You got to do what you was called to do. You got to do what you were born to do. You got to do what works for you, because if you do what works for you, you're going to blow up. It's in your DNA. It's who you are.
Then you get knocked down, you get back up, you get back up, you get back up, and you continue to throw shit against the wall.
I think at one time or another we've all questioned as to whether all that we see and are experiencing in our world has some sort of a rational plan behind it, because we understand now that both the Republican and the Democratic Party in our country are basically run by the same people. The same money finances both sides. We now know, of course, through the work of many historians who have spent their life working on research to show us that both sides of world conflicts have always been financed by the same people. And as I've said before, there seems to be a method to the madness going on in the world. We know, of course, that we cannot depend on our leaders. Our leaders are misleaders. There is a science that they're following. They have their own agenda, and it doesn't include you. What your government pays for, it gets. If you are paid to do something for the government, they will extract from you exactly what they have paid for. When we understand that, then we look at universities and schools, government-financed institutions of education, and see the kind of students and the kind of education that's being turned out by these government-financed schools, logic will tell you that if what is being turned out in those schools was not in accord with what the state and the federal government wanted, then it would change it. The bottom line is that the government is getting what they have ordered. They're getting what they have paid for.
They do not want your children to be educated. They do not want you to think too much. That is why our country and our world has become so proliferated with entertainments, mass media, game shows, television shows, amusement parks, drugs, alcohol, and every kind of entertainment to keep the human mind entertained so that you don't get in the way of important people by doing too much thinking. You had better wake up and understand that there are people who are guiding your life and you don't even know it. And all American citizens, I think, have suspected something like this is going on. But we're all too busy trying to stay alive and live our lives. And after all, what can one person do about it? This is the most powerful government the world has ever known. They had the ability to get a hold on Adolf Hitler 50 years ago. He had a standing army, the greatest navy, air force, military, secret underworld organizations operating throughout the world. But this government got a hold on Adolf Hitler because it chose to and it wanted to. And if you do not pay your income taxes, they will find you if you go to the Amazon jungle, and they will make an example of you. They will find you and they will deal with you, and you know it. But for some reason, they're unable to get a handle on drugs and the crime in the streets for some reason.
All right, everybody, Joseph Gibson podcasting here, understanding the times in which we live today. Let's see here. What's the news out there today? It's just insane stories. Had a couple things I wanted to talk about, but I was over there on the I did it a little bit later show here tonight because I was over there on the Constitution Party there. They doing their state meeting, on Zoom. And I brought up the question, it's basically also, if we're a corporation and we're not following the Constitution and we're not under the Constitution anymore, then, what's the Constitution Party going to do it? How are you going to restore the original Constitution? And I really didn't get, he gave me a polite answer, but he didn't give me the real answer as to what, how they're going to restore the original Constitution. You have to understand really common law, which is supposed to be paramount, which is, if you go, there are organizations. You have the Common Law Defense Association. You have Citizens for Sovereignty, Citizens for Constitutional Minnesota. They're up there. You got DC Computer Network and Information Services. That's ran by John Quaid and Dave Hart. They give you up-to-date sovereignty information. Computer database membership includes access to database information on how to cancel your Social Security number. So I don't always recommend that. I think you should just I understand what they're talking about, where you're contacted in and everything from birth. And a lot of people, like I was reading one site or whatever, I tried looking up this, because this guy's dead, passed away actually. Somebody I knew years ago, he figured out all this stuff, how they do it, the money system, and how it's all figured out and whatnot. Did it through UCC 1-207. You guys can look it up. For instance, you go to 28 USC 1746, he knew all this stuff. He quoted right off the top of his head, so you couldn't get thrown off. So he said stuff like that I couldn't remember right away, but I'd have to have it written down on a piece of paper and have my notes if I was ever presenting something like that too. People will come at you with an argument. I'm going to give you an example of how they do it. And I'm going to give you an example right now, because they try to label people like this who talk about the birth certificate thing and sovereigns as kooks, And look, there are some guys out there that are nuts, and, they pick the wrong fight. They want to fight over nothing, stupidity, nonsense, just total has nothing to do with the battle itself and law. Because law is real. Statutes are not. Okay, I don't know how else, a better way to put it, actually. Trying to find that, where I had that, where they talk about the sovereign citizen movement. Well, they go in there and they say, you know, about if you were a, if you're a sovereign, these sovereign citizens out there, I guess, you know, and of course they're labeled as, you know, radicals and by the FBI and whatnot and all these government organizations. And they say, you know, well, you know, you claim you're a sovereign citizen, you don't believe you should pay for this, pay for that, you shouldn't be taxed, or the government's illegitimate and this. And, you know, they basically contradict themselves because they talk about money. Money is not real. We all can admit that, right? We all can admit, know that the money is printed by the Federal Reserve banking cartel. The Federal Reserve is not a part of the government. It's a private company that operates totally with no regulation, no oversight whatsoever, and it controls the monetary system of our government. It's a fact. That's just a fact. You could look it up 18 different ways to hell and back, and it's, you're going to get that answer. And it's not the internet giving you false information or anything like that. It's true. Okay? So if that's true, and the Constitution says that only the power of the purse or the power of the people is supposed to, the money supply is supposed to be controlled by the people, and the people, of course, represent their local representatives, so the U.S. Treasury is supposed to be in charge of the printing of money, issuance of money. The issuance of money is supposed to be controlled by the people, not a private banking cartel. So if a private banking cartel has control of the issuance of our currencies and our money and can create inflation and deflation and adjust and decide basically how much you're going to pay for your car payment every month, I would say that's total control and total enslavement. You know, so – but people don't want to you know, they can't get over that fact. My tax dollars pay for this. My taxes pay for those roads. All right, that person's on food stamps. My taxes are paying for that. Your kids to eat. No, your taxes don't pay for nothing. It pays back the interest on the money that the U.S. Treasury and the government borrows from the Federal Reserve, okay? So that's not what your taxes pay for. Your taxes actually pay for probably also bridges being built over in Siberia. I think this guy looked it up one time. He showed me some paperwork on that, you know, how certain money was allocated over there. But, you know, so if that's a lie, what else are they lying about? Now, we all can agree also that these people in Washington, D.C. don't care about you. They don't care at all. Okay? So we can agree on that. They control our money. We have so-called elected representatives in Washington, D.C. that don't care about us. Now, what else? How else can you just – so, therefore, the system is broken. And what does the Constitution say? But we're not under the Constitution. Well, that's why they can't get away with what they did up there in Washington, D.C., because they can't. You know, it's not because it was right or wrong what happened, because they can't get away with it because they don't have freedom. You don't have freedoms anymore. You have just what they give you, these little privileges, and they can take them away at any time they want. You know, and that's a fact. You know, that's it. Guy got he's building a treehouse in his backyard. Somebody walked by. He's got a neighborhood association. They demanded he take it down. Well, what's wrong with people? Who would complain about something like that? What idiot would complain about that? That's somebody that really doesn't need to be around here. And, you know, it's just sick in the head, man. Why would you complain about somebody building a treehouse in their backyard? Why would you care? Why would you be looking in the man's backyard to begin with? Why are you being nosy? You know? You can't say that. That's wrong. You can't say that. You know? It's insane, man. All right, let's see the news stories. Predictive programming. Amazon TV series had scientists create sterilization bioweapon hidden in vaccine. Uh-oh, I've been hearing those rumors that the vaccine is being put in the water and in the meat. That's what I heard. Anybody else hear that? That's what they say. Schools warned that promoting concept of white privilege is harming disadvantaged white students. NASA says Hubble telescope computer halted. Teacher investigated after using N-word to help students properly pronounce name of African country. Oh, boy. Oh, wow. That person better run to the hills right there. You effing moron. We'll all be dead by June, Kushner raged at the start of a pandemic. At the start of the pandemic. Oh, wow. Shock video. Waitress abducted while confronting Dine and Dash group. How about that? Just snatched right up. Anybody see the Proud Boys up there in Portland, Oregon, attacking Antifa? It was like a freaking comedy show, the way they were fighting and everything. It had to be fake. Nobody punches like that. I mean, come on. Had to be an act. It was all a lie. It's probably all a big lie. Just one big fat lie. Well, anyway, on June 12th, Missouri Governor Mike Parson signed HB 85, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, recently approved by the state's legislature. The new law is designed to prevent state and local law enforcement from enforcing federal laws regulating private ownership of firearms. The act declares that all federal acts, laws, executive orders, administrative orders, court orders, rules, and regulations, whether past, present, or future, that infringe on the people's right to keep and bear arms, as guaranteed by the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution and Article 1, Section 23 of the Missouri Constitution, must be invalid in this state, including those that impose a tax, levy, fee, or stamp on these items as specified in the bill, require the registration or tracking of these items or their owners, prohibit the possession, ownership, or use of transfer or firearm in order to confiscation of these items. Moreover, the act opens up law enforcement officials and other state personnel to legal penalties if they do enforce federal firearms laws. And specifies that any entity or person who knowingly acts under the color of any federal or state law to deprive a Missouri citizen of the rights or privileges ensured by the federal and state constitutions to keep and bear arms must be liable to be insured to the insured party for redress, including monetary damages in the amount of $50,000 per occurrence, and injunctive sovereign immunity shall not be a defense. Oh boy, I should have put that one in there. Basically, the law attempts to do two different things. The first is to declare certain federal laws invalid within the state. We don't need this. We already have the Constitution, I thought, right? We don't need them. Support the federal officials seeking to prosecute Missouri residents under federal gun laws. Take part in the ultimate, states can't invalidate federal laws, but they don't have to help enforce them. Natural gun control advocates and opponents of decentralization have condemned the bill, mostly on grounds of the legal doctrines and federal preemption and federal supremacy. But this only applies to the part of the bill claiming to invalidate federal law. National Public Radio, for instance, quotes law professor Stephen Valdeck, who states, "If I am a resident of Missouri, I am no less subject to federal gun laws today than before the law was passed." This is true enough in the strict legal sense. So what the hell did they do it for? Because they got to find something to do. They can't rank up any more law. I mean, there's a law for everything. If you breathe the wrong way, you know, you fart the wrong way or whatever, you know, whatever it is, you're going, you know, that's it. The lessons we learned from state marijuana, we don't want to go into that. All right, so basically it was just a waste of time. Lockdown, trauma-causing five-year-olds to suffer panic attacks as disastrous mental health toll revealed. Of course, if you're locked in a room, imagine, look at those inmates that are locked in concrete boxes for years and years and years, and then you let them out. What the hell do you think they're going to do? They're crazy. They go nuts. All right, let's see here. What do we got? I got a request here to play this, so I don't get any calls here tonight and from people. Then I'm going to play this to wrap it up, the last 30 minutes of the podcast. Oh, boy, never go to court. Use the lingo. A lawyer uses the judge will make you look foolish. All right. Okay. All right. And, of course, I get my usual – that was somebody in the chat room, by the way. Of course, I get my usual jerks out here that got – not this person in the chat room. There's other ones sending me instant messages right now. That's not Ashley, no. That's some other nitwit out there. That's a new one that comes to the chat room, I guess. You guys can't see that. They're on the phone lines, but some people can see what they're trying to do. It's just stupid. Just stupid. I mean, why waste your time? Why waste your time? All right, here, we got to play this here real quick. Let me see here. They did get asked for this, so I'm trying to search for it now and I'll play it for you. I had something else here lined up also, so let me look for that, and I'll play this for you guys. If I could find it, I hope the heck the blog talk didn't take it down. There it is. All right, I'm going to play this one for you. So they asked me to play the 15 minutes again for them because they missed it. So I'll do that for them. And we'll do that, and then we'll take phone calls and understand the times in which you live today, 657-383-0616.
Twitter is saying that people who are secretly working with the FBI cannot be charged for encouraging others to commit crimes. Well, yes, exactly. That's the very point we made on this show last night. That's why they haven't been charged, because they were secretly working with the FBI. So in an effort to shut us down, Twitter just confirmed what we suggested was true. Thanks, Twitter. They are morons. It's pretty funny. Less funny, though, is the Justice Department's role in January 6th. Federal law enforcement appear to have played a role in what happened that day. We'd tell you more about it. We'd love to, but we don't have subpoena power. We're just a cable news show. Congress does have subpoena power, and let's hope they use it immediately.
Anyone that studied political science, anyone that studied history, if you just, as an academic, sit back and look at what the left is doing with its corporate backers, the communist Chinese and Hollywood, and they will tell you this is a Bolshevik revolution being carried out by the ultra-rich against what's left of the political system in the United States that has checks and balances that would challenge their hegemonic total control. They want a communist purge, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what this is. Overnight, Biden comes out and says, the main threat is conservative Americans. They are terrorists, and we are going to go after them. And the biggest threat is white people and white supremacists. And they define white supremacists as challenging the election, believing the Second Amendment, believing in family values. The cover of a multinational corporate takeover is using communism with its grassroots soldiers, but its corporate fascism on top, tax-exempt offshore, and then targeting their political enemies with an unjust judicial system that puts people that walked into the Capitol when the police opened the doors in solitary confinement for almost 6 months, beating them half to death. And former deputy directors of the FBI on TV saying, it's scary to say this, but we've got to use counterterrorism to take out members of Congress, to stop their networks. That's all counterterrorism talk. That's war talk. And they're actually doing it. People pat me on the back all the time, and I really, really appreciate it. But I want you to understand something. Don't put the horse in front of the cart here. Don't put the wagon in front of the mules here. If you weren't supporting us, if you weren't praying for us, if you weren't spreading the word, we wouldn't be on air anymore, and we wouldn't have a shot at defeating the New World Order like we have right now. So now more than ever, please visit InfoWarsStore.com and get great products that make you and your family's lives better and that fund the InfoWar, that fights tyranny, that also makes your lives better. A lot of people are counting on InfoWars to stay on the air, so I'm counting on you to keep us on the air. We're going to defeat the globalists, but it's not going to happen easy. We need God on our side. We've got to take action. Three of our best-selling products are back in stock. X3, biggest sell ever, 60% off, free shipping. Highest quality ultimate krill oil, back in stock, 40% off. BioTrue Selenium, sold out for months, back in stock, 50% off. Get products to make you and your life better and support the InfoWar, a 360 win. All right, let me boil it down like this, because I want it to sink into you. I want it to sink into me. I want it to sink into everybody around the world. I want it to sink into the people that work for the system, that work for the corrupt usurpers that have hijacked our nation. And I want them to know what side they're on right now and how dangerous that is for everybody. People should really think about what they're getting into and what's unfolding right now, and here it is. You remember 2009-2010, Obama announced the pivot towards China because China had double-crossed the globalists and was expanding their military operations. Remember that? That was a big deal. That was a very, very, very huge deal when that began to unfold. And this is just such a huge deal, such a gigantic moment in world history, in human history, that they have officially announced within days of Biden stealing his way into office in late January that they're going to use the military and the CIA against the American people, which is the old telltale sign of total tyranny. When a domestic government announces that there's an enemy within that is their political opposition, you know that you are in deep tyranny. Then when they announce that a domestic group is the enemy and that domestic group is the majority and are loyal, good, Christian, hardworking people, you've got an even bigger issue because the globalists are not even for the country's existence. So it's bad enough to have a tyranny in your country that's at least your own tyranny that's trying to outlaw its political opposition. That's cancer. But when you've got this globalist-run outside power that has come in and that is trying to outlaw opposition and that is shutting off the resources to break the public and to bring them to their knees so they can be re-educated, you have the worst type of tyranny. Now, I want to play what Tucker Carlson had to say about this last night in his part two of introducing to the American people the fact that you're now the enemy. And I want to go through all the documents and all the new announcements and Biden saying, watch your family members. You know, basically, if they're a Republican, call Homeland Security on them. They are trying to start a civil war because the Chi-Coms want the country broken up. But Biden and these Democrats are so stupid, they actually think they're going to start this war, intimidate the American people, intimidate the states, and basically have everybody submit and go along with them. So this is a very, very, very big deal. And the most dangerous moment this country has basically ever been in. But this is globalism's takeover. This is the New World Order's revolution. This is an assault, and it only gets worse from here. And that's why no matter how much heat they get and how bad they look and no matter how much everything they do falls apart, they are moving towards staging massive terror attacks and other crises to blame their opposition and frame us for terror so they can move directly against us. And that's why exposing January 6th as a false flag is so important. We know what agencies were involved. We even know the names of some of the people. And Tucker Carlson came out with that last night and was very measured so the media would attack him, say it wasn't true, just like the Wuhan lab leak and everything else, and then it will all be brought out. And it will all be brought out. Nothing's going to stop that now. There are at least 20 publications that have all the names, all the people, who did it, how they did it, ready to release it. But it's best to let these things simmer a bit, isn't it? And let the system deny it so we can discredit it that much worse, you little terrorist. So we're willing to risk our lives. Tucker Carlson is, I am, others are. And so all I can say to the New World Order is, this is a game of chicken, and we're not going to turn off this road. We're not going to let you have our children. We're not going to let you destroy the country. If you want to fight, you found one, and it's information warfare. Here's Tucker Carlson last night.
Good evening, and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Last night, we opened this show with new information about what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. No day, it's fair to say, in recent American history has received more media attention or been used for greater political effect by partisan actors. Because of January 6th, our Attorney General told us this week, we've got to change our country forever. And yet, given all the talking, the endless talking about January 6th, it is remarkable what we still don't know about what actually took place that day. Until this Monday night, for example, when it was reported by Revolver News, we had no idea that at least 20 organizers and participants in the events at the Capitol have not been indicted, despite the nationwide dragnet for people who were there. This is interesting. The government knows exactly who these people are, but has refused to charge them with crimes. Why is that? Well, because it seems like they may have had some connection to the government. Some of the people who broke into the Capitol, committed crimes while inside, and encouraged others to do the same appear to have been in contact with the FBI before the event. Let that sink in for a moment. The events of January 6th that you keep hearing about endlessly, events that Democrats in Congress describe as an act of war carried out by white supremacists, as dangerous and historically significant as Pearl Harbor and 9/11, those events apparently were at least in part organized and carried out in secret by people connected to federal law enforcement. It's hard to think of a bigger potential scandal than this one. Now it's clear why the government won't release more than 14,000 hours of surveillance footage shot at the Capitol that day. People they know are on the tape. Well, last night, clips from our show began to circulate on social media. The tech monopolies, which helped get Joe Biden elected, continue to work closely with the administration to control the news and information that you are allowed to see, because it's America, right? Well, this piece of news, the one on our show last night, was a problem for them, so they tried to make it go away. Twitter appended the following note to our clip last night, quote, "Federal law does not permit cooperating witnesses or informants to be charged with conspiracy, despite a baseless suggestion by Tucker Carlson that some co-conspirators of the January 6th attack were not charged because they were undercover FBI agents," end quote. Let's think about this. Now, leave aside for a second the most obvious question that arises from the statement, which is, how would Twitter, which is a media company, not as far as we know, a law enforcement agency, be able to confirm our reporting last night was, quote, baseless? How would they know that? Does Twitter somehow have access to the FBI's personnel files? We don't know. We hope someone finds out. But consider the statement more broadly. Twitter is saying that people who are secretly working with the FBI cannot be charged for encouraging others to commit crimes. Well, yes, exactly. That's the very point we made on this show last night. That's why they haven't been charged, because they were secretly working with the FBI. So in an effort to shut us down, Twitter just confirmed what we suggested was true. Thanks, Twitter. They are morons. It's pretty funny. Less funny, though, is the Justice Department's role in January 6th. Federal law enforcement appear to have played a role in what happened that day. We'd tell you more about it. We'd love to, but we don't have subpoena power. We're just a cable news show. Congress does have subpoena power, and let's hope they use it immediately.
Anyone that studied political science, anyone that studied history, if you just, as an academic, sit back and look at what the left is doing with its corporate backers, the communist Chinese and Hollywood, and they will tell you this is a Bolshevik revolution being carried out by the ultra-rich against what's left of the political system in the United States that has checks and balances that would challenge their hegemonic total control. They're saying being white is inherently bad on every channel. Thousands of programs and shows have been produced saying whites are inherently evil, need to be killed. If you don't submit to what the Democrats say, you're a white supremacist, so you deserve to die. You are a terrorist if you think there was any type of election fraud, and you're not going to go along with drag queen story time and illegal aliens allowed to bring kidnapped children in and criminals allowed to rob stores, even with weapons. And George Soros has literally taken over almost every town and city, thousands of them, with his district attorneys and his judges and his county attorneys. And so they prosecute you if you're a Christian or a conservative. They let you commit murder, commit armed robbery if you're with them. This is...
All right, everybody. Joseph, yeah, all right, I think we get the picture there. I played that, just had two requests, actually, because we played that the other night. Phone line 657-383-0616 if you have something want to contribute here tonight to the podcast. We're going to try to keep it to an hour podcast tonight if I don't get to the call volume that I usually get, because I switching up the times on the show a lot, so I'm doing it at 8, doing it at 7, doing it at 9:30, so people are having a hard time following me. So I just got read three messages right there. They're like, why don't you keep it the same time all the time? Yeah, I think that's, but it's what do you want me to do? It's got things going on, it's just the way it goes. It's the way it is. Sometimes you can't. If I program for 7 and I don't show up, then people are going to get mad if I don't show up. So I just try to do it. Just count on it anytime after, say, 7:30, That's between 7:30 and 9:30, like that. I was talking to somebody, the world is going really mad. He said he was driving through Atlanta, 7 lanes of highway, 100 miles an hour. Is that true? Is that true? Anybody out there from Georgia could tell me that? Is that true up there in Atlanta, the highway, they go 100 miles an hour? The speed limit's like 80, and they're all doing like 100. That's just a road rage waiting to happen. I mean, that's insanity. I mean, well, if there's an accident, you're dead. You know, and then we had that accident down there in Alabama there. How many people died? 10 people died, I think it was. That's terrible. 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 But for the trolls here, I got something for you before I just, well, I had it. I keep it, there it is. I got something here for the trolls before I just open up the phone lines here. So I got some new audio here, so I'm going to play this one for you. Well, if it'll play. There it goes. It should be playing.
Well, I don't have money, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Yeah, that's for you, you jerks. Alright, anyway, alright. Let's see here. 657-383-0616. Let me open up the call boards and check it out here. I'll go up on my screen and go down the line. All right, there's we've got a bunch of people in here tonight, but they're only a couple pressing one. Go to the first one, private caller.
Come on, Joe, tell the truth. Do you change all these times up all around, all over the place, because you just don't want us to be in a rut, right?
I know. Somebody sent me a message that, well, a couple people did. They're like, what the heck? You know, what, one day you're on at 7, next day you're on 9:30. You know, I can't keep track.
Yeah,
I get it. I get it.
All right. Keep in other words, you want to keep us on our toes, is that it?
Yeah, well, I think maybe, you know, anytime after 9 is good. If you figure out the West Coast out there, I get a good bunch of people out there on the West Coast that listen, and you figure if 9 o'clock is 6 o'clock out there, you know. So unless I do a special emergency broadcast or something during the day, I've done a few of those over the years, but where I have to call people or whatnot. But other than that, I think I'll keep it around 9 o'clock. You know, 9 o'clock's a good time to start the show, you know.
Well,
anyway,
I can guarantee you now, I don't know about 100 miles an hour in the Georgia area, but people around here routinely do between 85 and 90 regularly on the highways around here. A few
that's
get
bad.
Up to 100.
That's, man, that's crazy. How the heck 100 miles an hour, 7 lanes of traffic? They got 7 lanes up there in Atlanta?
In Atlanta, well, what's one reason I stay away from Atlanta? I mean, there's so many reasons I stay away from Atlanta. Mainly, they got Keisha Lance Bottoms as mayor. That's right there is reason enough to stay out of that city. But they got 7 lanes. They got, I mean, 75 going into Atlanta is really wide, especially where it leads into, I'm sorry, 20 going into 75, going into 85, and yeah, it really, there are that many lanes. There's lots of them, and people are, but
wow.
In the midday, you can't go that fast because there's always traffic jams.
Yeah.
You just can't go that fast. Got 7 lanes that are all clogged up.
That's insane. That's insane. You get into an accident, you're dead. How about that accident down there in Alabama, huh? Oh, wow.
Yeah, they get nasty ones around here, but it's rare you can get that fast in the heart of downtown because there's always, you know, traffic, you might, it's good if you can maintain a steady 60, and that's kind of in the late evening or, you know, late evening, early morning. But,
well, I had Dr. Peter Ventura. Yeah, Dr. Peter Ventura stopped by. He was traveling to Florida. He stopped by, and he was telling me about it. So, and then I was over there in the Constitution Party there for North Carolina. We were over there on the Zoom thing there. We had about 15, 16 people over there and, you know, on the Zoom there for trying to get, I guess, you know, they're trying to get ballot access and everything. And they'll get on the ballot. They will. But, you know, the thing of it is they get on the ballot at the last second, and how the heck are you supposed to go out and run a campaign, you know? I mean, you know, you got 3 months of meeting the people. I mean, you just can't do that. You got to get on the ballot right away, you know? And that's
yeah,
what they're trying to do because North Carolina won't let them on.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, I got a little tidbit for you that is illustrative of my attempts to explain to people that Democrats simply don't reason the way normal people do. They have synaptic impulses in their brains that are simply abnormal and mutated. I mean, they literally cannot reason the way people normally do. And I got proof positive of it with a little gem that in overall scheme of things isn't that significant, but it is a good indicator of the way Democrats think. And it has to do with Milwaukee.
All right, throw it at us.
Yeah, it's got to do with Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where now the murder theft cases in 2020, 2021 to date has compared with last year at this date are stand now at 4,367 compared to 1,490 in 2020, which is a spike of 193%. Now, there are two Mensa candidates in the Milwaukee City Council. One of them is an alder woman named Malali A. Coggs, and the other one is an alderman named Khalif J. Rainey. And this is what they said in a press conference, and I am quoting. I'm not making this up. This is not from the Babylon Bee, I swear to God. Kia and Hyundai are directly responsible, in my view, for the drain on police and other city resources that have been sadly directed to deal with the rash of vehicle thefts and the havoc those thefts have brought to our city. It's time for these companies to fix the problem they created. I swear that's what's being reported in the Wisconsin Right Now News. I mean, and now think about this for a minute now. Now, we're used to these people doing this with guns. You know, I mean, you know, these, you know, they fetishize guns with animate properties. Like, they can just get up, jump out from underneath beds or trunks of cars or underneath cars or wherever they are and just start shooting people. Now,
unlock the trigger, they're attributing
a car, which is inanimate, and you turn the ignition on and put it in gear and let it roll. Now they're attributing it, the way it's manufactured, is being responsible for auto thefts. And I'm just saying to myself, they want Kia, I guess, to put more features on it to make them more theft resistant than they already are, cost more money for, I guess, poor people, because you add more features that make them more expensive. I don't know what's wrong with these little morons. I mean, these only Democrats reason this way. You don't ever hear Republican reasoning like this. You're serious.
But what have the Democrats, Sarge, so far, what have the Democrats passed as far as law through Congress without, no, don't worry about the executive order because they could be turned over or they're just not even constitutional anyway, supposedly. They can't be enforced. So what has the Democrats actually passed that's detrimental to us?
Name something. Whatever they pass, it is. There's never legislation they passed that is a salutary for the United States, ever. Everything has the effect of more government and more government control. It always, always, always involves more governmental regulation. Always. No matter what
it is. My point is, we're just not seeing the effects of everything that they pushed through and rammed through thus far because it takes time. Because if you remember correctly, like we saw, you know, Biden just can't snap his fingers and the whole country just changes like a domino. You know, it takes time to implement the policies that they're doing. You know, so I think by next year we're really going to feel it.
Oh, monetizing the debt. I mean, you know, and not only that, printing all this money to cover all these stimulus checks and whatnot. Yeah, of course.
Aren't they coming out with another stimulus or something in July? You know, isn't there another thing or something for housing?
Yeah, there's another one too. There's no end. All you got to do is look at what they're proposing, and then you got to just figure out down the road how badly is it going to hurt the United States, its economy, and diminish the prospects for the pursuit of happiness for its people, and I guarantee you'll see it pretty quickly.
What's the 10-year yield right now, the 10-year? Because they mentioned that the other night. When the 10-year yield goes below a certain quarter percent or something, that's it. The economy is finished. I mean, so I don't know what the 10-year yield is right now, but they say that that's once that goes below a certain, like I said, point or 1% or something like that, it's completely, the economy is crap. Nothing that can be done to save it. I mean, that's what I heard. I don't know. Some people have said that over the years to me. But, you know, I thought I saw it go. I saw it go below that quarter point there when the pandemic hit. Wall Street crashed one day.
I remember reading something a couple months ago about something like just under 1.5. percent.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah, it's a 10-year yield.
Whatever it is, we can't pay it back.
We can't pay it back at all. You could everybody 100% in this country, 100%, and you cannot pay it back, the debt. You just can't. Impossible.
No,
you wouldn't be able to take
everything from every rich person over makes over 500. I mean, confiscate all of this stuff, every single asset they got, right down to their wristwatches, everything.
Yeah,
and you couldn't even begin to make a dent in this debt.
Well, change gears a little bit, Sarge. Here a little bit. I was watching a documentary this morning about Hector Camacho. You remember that boxer there, Hector Camacho?
Yeah, Macho Camacho. Yeah.
Yeah.
He always wore fringe boxing shorts.
He was unbeatable, man. I mean, until he got hit on the chin I forgot what the name of the boxer was, but he was beating everybody. He was like 29-0. I mean, he was just knocking them the hell out. I mean, he was fast, man. And he was lefty, too, and he was so fast. I mean, he beat Sugar Ray Leonard. And then, I think that was his last fight. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Wait a minute, I think you're talking about Roberto Duran, the man with the hands of stone, ain't you?
No. He fought Roberto Duran. I know he fought Chavez and lost.
Roberto Duran twice.
Oh, he did. Who won?
Roberto
Duran
beat him in the first matchup. He got a decision, and the second decision, Ray took him out.
Oh, okay. That was the redemption fight. Okay, I got it then. All right, I understand. I saw that in the document. They didn't call him Roberto Duran in the documentary. I remember that's the one he lost. Yeah, and he was shocked or whatever.
Oh, that's
the
man with the hands of stone. Now, Roberto Duran was one of the greatest fighters in welterweight history, to make no mistake about it.
He was Ray Boom Boom Mancini.
He was a destroyer.
Yeah, well,
but he was
Ray
the one
Mancini
to take no mas.
Too.
Remember, no mas.
Chavez was the best, though. He was like, what, 90-something and 0 or something?
The best three rounds in boxing, probably, arguably, was Hagler-Hearns, man. That fight was ferocious.
It was only three rounds,
but, God, it was every second was action-packed. They went at each other hammer and tongs. Ferocious.
Thomas Hearns, right?
Yeah, Hearns opened up a bad cut. Oh, just over Hagler's eyes, and the doctor, ringside doctor, took a look at it and said he was thinking about stopping the fight, but he let the fight continue. And Hagler said, "Oh hell, he might stop this fight. I got to knock this sucker out right away." And that's exactly what he did. Bam, put him on the chest.
Hagler
out
was pretty
cold.
Bad.
Hagler
but
was another great fighter, and I mean a great fighter.
What's that? Who's that?
Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Oh, yeah. He passed away, you know. He's gone.
Yeah,
he died,
I know, man.
You know,
they got COVID shot.
Yeah.
He's one of the greats of all time, though. Him, Tommy Hearns, Roberto Duran.
Tommy Hearns died,
and,
too?
And Sugar Ray Leonard. In that time period, you had four great fighters.
No, I thought you said he died. Wait a second. I thought you said Tommy Hearns died.
No. Hagler died.
Okay.
He had the COVID
shot.
Yeah,
I know Hagler died.
COVID shot, he died after, and I don't know if that was the cause of his death, but a lot of people are making the linkage.
Well, I'll tell you what, Camacho, he died too, but he died of a gunshot wound. He was in Puerto Rico,
I think it was. Yeah.
Drug deal going bad. Yeah,
right.
They say he was a cokehead, so he was on cocaine a lot, so that's probably why he was so unbeatable, maybe, you know?
Yeah, he made it fail. He's a good fighter now. I don't know if he's I don't think he quite fit the category of all-time great, but he was definitely in the upper echelon of fighters. He wasn't like Roberto. Now, Roberto Duran is going to go down as an all-time great. Roberto Duran was unbeatable. When he was in his prime, he was just, like, fearsome.
What about Michael Spinks? Remember him?
Kind of accidental champ.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, though, but, you know, I mean, he beat Ali when Ali was on his decline, and, you know, he was on his decline,
How many fights
and,
did Ali lose?
No, he wasn't in shape. And he didn't take Spinks seriously, and Spinks came in there to fight, just like Buster Douglas against Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that was a fluke, too. But how many fights did Ali
lose? Mike Tyson wasn't in shape, man. Look, Buster Douglas got in the best shape of his life. Mike Tyson wasn't in shape. Anytime you do that, you're subject to go down to any professional. Any ranked professional can take you out. No matter how great you are, if you don't stay in shape and train for the fight.
But boxing is not the same as it used to be. I mean, it's just not the same. The UFC has overshadowed it, I think, right? I mean, it's not popular anymore. It's just nobody – I mean, who's popular in boxing? Who? You know? I mean, nobody, really.
It's not like it was when those guys were fighting in the 80s, man, and the president was paying it to me. You know, Ronald Reagan had Sugar Ray Leonard, the White House, and he's calling him up to congratulate him on his victories, and he had all these endorsements. Sugar Ray Leonard was, like, bigger than O.J.
I know, yeah.
You know, I mean, he's really big, and so are some of them other guys, too. But you're right, boxing has declined a lot because, you know, he had Deontay Wilder as champ, and he just didn't raise any excitement. Then he had the Klitschko's, and they were good fighters, but they didn't raise any excitement. Then he got Tyson Fury, and he's a Brit, although he's kind of interesting, still a Brit, you know what I mean? So, you're right. It's not excitement in boxing was, Jenny. And I hate that because boxing was my favorite sport. I boxed in the Army, and I really liked boxing. I really did. But,
you boxed in. Okay. I was speaking of the military now. I was watching the documentary on the meeting in the bunker there with Hitler and all his generals. And he was an idiot, Hitler, if you ask me. I mean, they were all telling him, you know, because they wanted to defend Frankfurt, right? They wanted to defend the fort. And everyone's telling him, no, you know, we need the troops. I take my 150,000. We need to go elsewhere with them. That was just a blunder on his part. I mean, he's just a complete imbecile. I mean, he didn't listen to anything his generals advised him on. I don't think it's that Jews trashing his name or anything like that. You could tell he was a hothead. I mean, what was Hitler really? He was, and when he fought in World War I, he didn't even fight. He was a courier, wasn't he? I mean,
I've studied that pretty thoroughly. Hitler's World War I record was certainly just on its own merits, certainly commendable and admirable from a sheer point of view that, for one thing, he survived 4 years in the trenches. His Bavarian regiment, the 16th Reserve Bavarian List Regiment, went into battle. He was in battle with them at First Ypres, First Wipers, Y-P-R-E-S, one of the most horrific battles of the First World War. His regiment went in with 3,500 men and came out with 600, and he was one of them. He was
really. I didn't know that. They didn't tell that part of it. Okay.
Yeah. No. Believe me, Hitler's war record was admirable. In fact, he was fanatical, according to everyone who knew him at the time. We'd be wounded and would refuse to come out of the line. Or when he did, he got wounded several times. When he got wounded, before he completely recovered, he tried to get back to his unit. In fact, he just went out the hospital and went back to his unit. He was a fanatic. He got the Iron Cross first class when he was doing... Remember, being a runner, even though you did have some perks because you weren't quite in the front-line trenches, when you went out to deliver your messages, you were in more peril than the average soldier was because you were literally exposed to shell fire and everything else, and it was constantly going on. And during one of his excursions in the trenches, he was armed with a pistol, and he single-handedly captured seven French soldiers.
They said false. They said that's false. That never happened. That's what they said.
No, it did happen. That's why he got his Iron Cross first class. That's why he got his
that's what
he was
saying.
Awarded the Iron Cross first class for in that engagement.
Really?
I don't know.
It could be the French
dead
or mocking him or whatever, but I don't know.
His war record is in the still in the West German files. I mean, it's still available for people to read. He was wounded on multiple occasions. You know how rare it is for a person to be awarded the Iron Cross, an enlisted man to be awarded, relatively anyway, be awarded the Iron Cross first class? in the First World War is not a common decoration for an enlisted man. The Iron Cross
the
second class
I'm not
was,
too
yes,
much of a student of World
not
War
the
I.
Iron Cross first class.
Hey, Sarge, I'm not too much of a student of World War One. What was the, what was the main focal point of the beginning of that? I know a little bit.
Yeah, here's what the First World War came in. Look, you had a series of entangling alliances that wound up creating the war. First of all, it was the Balkan cockpit where it all got started, because you had the Serbians, being. They were guaranteed their autonomy, Serbia, by the Russians. And the Russians had an alliance with them. And then you had Germany, on the other hand, had an alliance with Austria-Hungary and the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. And when the Archduke Franz Ferdinand got assassinated, what this led to was the Austrians wanting to punish the Serbs by literally stepping on their sovereignty, demanding to take over the investigation of his assassination and demanding a whole lot of concessions, which the Serbs were willing to agree to, but eventually they went too far and the Serbians said, you can go fuck yourself. And now then the Austrians moved to punish the Serbs, and I remember Russia is a guarantor of the Serbs for their loyalty. France has got an alliance with the Russians. Germany's got an alliance with the Austro-Hungarians. Britain is a respecter of a treaty with the Belgians, guaranteeing their neutrality. And you've got all of these things going on, these alliances, that the Iron Chancellor, Otto von Bismarck, had carefully juggled and kept all of these various factions at bay from each other so they wouldn't start a world war. But when he died, that all started to change because many of these alliances were conducted in secret and not announced loudly to the world. So when Archduke Ferdinand got assassinated, it just began a cascading series of events that led to mobilization. You got to remember, back in them days, when armies mobilized, it was clearly an act of war because you had to set so much machinery in motion, get these enormous armies mobilized and up to the borders ready to deploy against their enemies. Russia starts to mobilize. France starts to mobilize. Germany starts to mobilize. Austria-Hungary mobilizes, and it's on. And then when the Germans violated Belgian neutrality by carrying out the Schlieffen Plan, which was a German right hook through Belgium and France to move around through past the Channel ports and come in a hook around Paris, they had, part of the plan said they had to go through Belgium to do it. When they did, that caused Britain to declare war on Germany because they were guarantors of Belgian neutrality by treaty. So that's what got the whole damn thing started.
Okay. All right.
Now, that doesn't include the United States getting in. That had to do later when the Germans were doing unrestricted submarine warfare and because of the Zimmerman telegram importuning Mexico to come in on the Central Powers side should Germany go to war against the United States. And then when they won the war, they'd give the Mexicans back Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas.
Now listen to this now. All right. No, this is going to disagree with you here on something. Adolf Hitler, a hero, anything but, said First World War comrades. Unpublished letters and diaries from List Regiment soldiers portray Hitler as a loner, an object of ridicule, and a rare area pig. Adolf Hitler's rabid anti-Semitism and virulent nationalism were not directly prompted by his experiences on the Western Front in the First World War. Historical research suggests unpublished letters and a diary written by veterans of Hitler's wartime regiment are among newly unearthed documents that challenge previous notions about how the conflict shaped the future dictator's views. The documents overturn Hitler's subsequent portrayal of his unit. The List Regiment, as united in its intolerance and anti-Semitism with Hitler, a hero, its heart. They challenged long-held views on Hitler's supposedly brave war record, revealing that frontline soldiers shunned him, and they shunned him as a rare area pig in the base several miles from danger. The papers also disclosed that List men saw Hitler as an object of ridicule, joking about him starving in a canned food factory, unable to open a tin with a bayonet. He was viewed by his comrades in regimental HQ as a loner, neither popular nor unpopular. They noticed that he did not indulge in their favorite pastimes, letter writing or drinking, but was instead often seen reading a political book or painting, earning him the the painter or the artist. He was also viewed as particularly submissive to his superiors. Perhaps no other individual has been more scrutinized than Hitler, but research the List Regiment by Dr. Thomas Weber, lecturer in modern history at Aberdeen University, has unearthed new evidence. Weber said that previous biographies relied on evidence from Hitler and Nazi propagandists. Since Hitler was an ordinary soldier in the First World War, there was not an easy available file on him. Biographers didn't dig deep enough. Within the Bavarian War Archives, Weber discovered papers undisturbed for almost nine decades. Elsewhere, he found unpublished letters and Nazi party membership files and traced Jewish veterans of the List. Hitler served as a runner, but armed with new evidence, Weber realized that historians had not distinguished between regimental runners and relatively safe job and battalion or company runners who had to brave machine gun fire between trenches. Hitler was the former, a runner of Regiment HQ, several miles from the front and living in relative comfort. In unpublished letters, Alois Schindendorfer, who also served at the List Regiment HQ, told his parents that his own task was to sit in armchair and make calls like a postmistress. He also confirmed the frontline view of more generous provisions than the men in the trenches. I can drink a liter of beer under a shady walnut tree. Speaking of Hitler's famous first-class Iron Cross, the second class was a relatively common award. Weber said that this was often received by those in contact with more senior officers, typically those posted to regimental headquarters, rather than combat soldiers. Drawing an unpublished diary by a Jewish List soldier, the documents also indicate a lack of widespread anti-Semitism. Excuse me. Hitler's Iron Cross was recommended by Hugo Guntman, a Jewish List adjutant, but Weber discovered when Guntman was incarcerated by the Gestapo in 1937, List veterans enabled him to survive. Guntman referred to a prison guard who took risks to help him, saying, as a good Catholic, he despised the Nazis. Another List ex-comrade helped Guntman to escape to America. Weber also unearthed evidence to show that the veterans of the List Regiment did not, as maintained by all Hitler biographies, unanimously support Hitler after the war. Okay, an unpublished 1934 postcard by a Hitler admirer laments his being cold-shouldered by veterans in 1922. Weber found that few frontline List soldiers became Nazis, whereas several regiment HQ staff became prominent in the party. What do you think, Sarge?
Yeah, well, look, I agree completely with their assessment. Most of his comrades, even the ones that admired him, thought he was odd. So I'm not going to argue about that. They said that he was fanatical, he was frequently aloof. They liked the fact that they thought he was a fairly good artist, and he would draw portraits sometimes of him and give them to him. But beyond that, they thought he was definitely strange. So there's no doubt about that. I agree with that completely. I do not agree, however, that he did not see a lot of combat. Just the one first battle he was in, the first battle of Ypres in October 1914, when his regiment went into the battle with 3,600 men. At the end of it, it had 611 men. His own company had 250 and was reduced to 42. That alone would qualify him as having seen more combat than most people have ever been in combat. Forget anything else he might have done in the war. Just surviving that one battle. Remember, that was the first battle. He wasn't a runner then. He was a frontline infantryman. Yeah. And to survive that is literally miraculous. He's one of the very few who survived it unwounded or not killed. So that alone would qualify him as a significant combat veteran. But remember, again, you don't get the Iron Cross first class in the German Army unless it's well attested to as an enlisted man. He didn't have any pull. He was a weird guy, wasn't even a full corporal. He was an Obergefreiter. He was like a private first class or a lance corporal. He didn't have any pull. You do not get an Iron Cross first class as an enlisted man in the German Army unless you do something worthy of it. And I believe he did. That doesn't mean I'm trying to stick up for Hitler. I just like the historical record to be accurate. Everything I have read about Hitler's wartime service and being a runner, whether you're at regiment or at company, there might be more dangerous positions to be a runner, but any runner's position is dangerous. Any runner's position is dangerous. Because even though in relative comfort compared to people who continually live in the trenches amongst the mud and the rats, still, when you come out to do the running, you are exposed to danger. There is any place in the trenches, whether the frontline trenches, the communication trenches, or the secondary line of trenches, you are exposed to fire on a regular basis. And Hitler probably was, too. I kind of suspect some of this stuff is kind of dubious. I have to look at it myself. But I just know, in the German Army, you don't get the Iron Cross first class for nothing. Especially not at that time period. No way.
Yeah, okay.
And he got it. Well, I mean, that was the thing he was probably proudest of, his Iron Cross. That's the only decoration he wore on his uniform, and he was proud of it. And apparently, it was awarded to him by his Jewish company commander.
Yeah.
The Jewish company commander awarded this doggone thing.
Well, I really
think he probably did have a significant wartime record. Like I said, just surviving the first battle of Ypres was an accomplishment in and of itself. If he had gotten wounded then and never saw any more combat, say he had his leg blown off, he would have been a significant combat veteran just for surviving that first battle. Look at the casualties in his unit. They were horrific. 10% of them survived unwounded and not killed. 10%.
What's up with Donald Trump's... What's up with Donald Trump's social media platform? They say, does he have it up and running yet or what?
No, not yet. I don't think so. I think he's still working on it. But there's a movie coming out you might want to check out, man. Have you heard about this movie called The Big Rig?
No.
Okay, I'm going to fill you in on it. It's going to be premiering on the 26th of June. And let me tell you what it's about. It's ask the questions that censorship-happy mainstream media doesn't want you to ask. Reveal the truth that Twitter sacrificed millions of accounts to hide. Follow the team of patriots, lawyers, and white hat hackers determined to reveal the facts behind the headlines, the backroom scenes, and through electronic networks designed to rig any election they conduct. Scrutinize for yourself the evidence which paints a portrait of Washington's double dealings and international intrigue. It previews live stream on Saturday, June 26th. It's all about the big steal. They got General Michael Flynn is in it and a bunch of other fairly well-known names dealing with the election. And you can go at the trailer. You want to watch the trailer to see if it interests you or not. You go to https://thedeeprig.movie. You can go look at the trailer there and see if it catches your fancy. I'll post it in the chat room if you're interested in looking at it. I'm going to watch
it. Deep Rig, is it called?
Yeah, I'm going to watch
it. Deep Rig?
Yeah, I just posted it in the chat room. There's a link to it. So you can go take a look at it and see if it catches your fancy.
And when's it coming out, though?
The 26th. And they're going to have a live stream event for audience participation, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. What are we celebrating this 4th of year, Sarge? That we lost all our freedoms? Get off my phone. I keep calling back in.
What
are we
going to
celebrate this 4th of July?
Oh, yet. They're attenuated, Joe. They're not lost. They're attenuated, but I guarantee you, at the rate they're going, they will be. Liberty will be a thing of the past. That's the word I think we need to use, liberty, which means freedom from arbitrary and capricious government control. We are losing liberty.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, we are. We are definitely losing our liberty.
No, for sure.
No doubt about it.
I mean, these Democrats play a war on liberty. They don't like it.
Well, Sarge, I got to get out of here a little bit early here tonight, so I know I got 40 minutes left, but I said I was going to do an hour. I only stood over because of you, and I'm not letting these jerks on tonight. I've got seven of them here, all one. They're like, I keep bouncing, lighting up my call board.
Sometimes. Come on, you got to admit, they can be fun sometimes.
No, not tonight. I actually have something I have to take care of, actually, because I have to get back to for the Constitution Party, because, you know, I'm going to be probably trying to get here, down here, you know, North Carolina House of Representatives. You know, I'm trying to get there. You know, I got to get a committee formed together. I got to get a treasurer, and it has to be certified. And then my name will be on the ballot. The primary. I think I'm going to go Republican, though. I like the Constitution Party, but I just don't think they're going to have a stand a chance, man. You know? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Did you think the Patriots had a shot in the Revolutionary War if you'd have been around? Greatest country military on the planet? They're arguing with each other all the damn time. They can't even figure out who the commander ought to be.
Right.
The militia won't stick around to fight. Come on. Would you have thought they would have won then?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Yeah, that's true.
Just read that book, Almost a Miracle, by Thomas Fleming. I mean, it tells the whole story. Sometimes, you know, great odds against great odds, people prevail anyway. Yeah, I got to agree with you. They occupy the high ground. But look, what's the alternative? We submit and become serfs, or we fight back and we become free, and we become free citizens. Take your pick.
Oh, we're fighting back. We're going to fight back.
We're going to become serfs.
I know. If they win the midterms, if they gain control of the Senate and we lose more in the House, I think that that's it. I mean, they're going to really clamp down, and to beat an incumbent, 2-3 years from now, that's going to be impossible. I mean, it's just Kamala Harris will be the president, and then she'll get 8 years. She'll have 12 years of this crap, you know.
H.R. 1, if they get H.R. 1 through, forget it. They're going to create a one-party state in perpetuity, man.
I don't even know about H.R. 1. I don't even know about it.
It's 700 pages, and I read it, man. It's a horror. It's literally a constitutional abomination. Every single word in it, to include the and, if, the, and but, is unconstitutional. It is a horror. It is designed to keep the Democratic Party in power.
For the People Act. For the People Act.
Yes, For the People Act.
Oh, my goodness. Read this stuff.
It's a horror.
This bill addresses voter access, election integrity, and security, campaign finance, and ethics for the three branches of government. Specifically, the bill expands voter registration, automatic and same-day registration, and voting access, voting by mail, and early voting. It also limits removing voters from voter rolls. Additionally, the bill set forth provisions related to election security, including sharing intelligence information with state election officials, supporting states in securing their election systems. I don't see anything wrong with that part right there. The bill requires the president, the vice president, and certain candidates for those offices to disclose 10 years of tax returns. Further, the bill addresses campaign finance, including by expanding the prohibition on campaign spending for foreign nationals, requiring additional disclosures of campaign-related fundraising, and requiring additional disclaimers. You sure you got the right bill here, Sarge? I don't see nothing wrong with that there now.
It denies to the states the right to determine the rules for their election. Article 2 of the Constitution specifically demands it. The federal government is not supposed to control the rules the states make, particularly for making the electors in a presidential election.
Okay.
And it's a violation of the Constitution. What they did in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Ohio. You had people making election law that are not allowed by the Constitution to make it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see you see it now. Okay, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, because they're stripping the states' rights away to create their own election. Monty, you know? Yeah.
Exactly, and that's why it doesn't matter what. As far as I stopped reading right there, I didn't need to know nothing else about it. I don't care what else it tends to do or don't do. That alone should end it right there. Read the Constitution. In such a manner as the state legislatures thereof may direct. That's what it says. Not the Secretary of State, not the governor, not a judge. What the state legislature confirms. They want to turn every state into a blue state election law state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Federalism will be dead as far as elections go.
It's all over now. Yeah. They're going to get it through. I mean
read it. I mean, read this thing. I mean, this thing is literally a heart, and we can't count on the Supreme Court to do its job anymore and reverse unconstitutional law.
Oh, God. They're all over the place. You know, they don't know which way they're going.
I mean, we can't count on them anymore. I mean, the only way around it then would be for governors of the states to just refuse to comply with it. And then finally, they'll probably do what they should have done in the Trump election. I mean, this last election in November. They'll just deny the electoral votes of the states that don't go along with it.
That's right.
Which is what they should have done to the states that violated the Constitution in this last election. They should have disallowed their electoral votes from being counted or sent them back to the states.
Well, Sarge, I hope you had a nice Father's Day.
The slate of electors.
I hope you had a nice Father's Day, Sarge.
Oh, I did. It was
good. Good.
I took my gun-hating daughter decided to take me to the range for Father's Day because she knows I like to shoot, and now she's a Second Amendment convert. She loved it.
Oh, wow.
She's a Second Amendment. I couldn't believe it. She was so enthralled with the power she had in her hand and her ability to actually hit the target that now she can't wait to go back and learn how to really shoot.
Well, you got a good Father's Day gift. That's the best gift ever. How about that, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anybody else want to jump in here real quick? Press number one. You got to press one. If I don't see you, I don't see you. Let me check the boards here real quick just to make sure. And we don't have anybody here pressing one that's on hold here. All right. Nope. All right. Well, okay. Sarge, thanks for tuning in tonight. Let's see. Tomorrow night's Tuesday. Next show will be Thursday night, I think. Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday. But it'll be at 9 p.m., though. 9 p.m. We'll do it at 9 p.m. So, oh, no, we can't do that Wednesday because that's Bert's open phones. We're going to be over there at Bert's. So, nope. All right. So it'll be Thursday then. Thursday night. All right, then, Sarge, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and God bless you, and God bless the Republic, and anything else you want to add real quick?
Yeah, like I said, the Chinese people said it best, may you live in interesting times, which is intended to be a curse, and boy, are we blessed with interesting times, huh?
Oh, tell me about it. It's It's something else, man. It really is. I didn't think the New World Order was going to come this fast. I just didn't, you know. I just didn't.
Man, they put the throttle to the floor, man. I mean, they mashed it. This is why they ain't got no governor on now. They ain't got no governor.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, everybody, God bless the Republic. Good night.
See you later.
Something to play here. See you later. If I get something to play here, I don't think I can get anything to play. I'm stuck on air. I'm going to have to end this thing. Oh, man, I had an intro there, too.
Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
And for me, give me liberty or give me death!
answer to 1984 is 1776.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at him at this moment. Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We were going to hell so fast. We had an explosion and we are defending and we agree. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and you be used for the excuse to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, is that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front line.